This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into the bi-week edition of Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, coming to you from the Go Texan team store here at Reliance Stadium. How are you in this bi-week, Mark?
I'm doing great, Patty, and I'm lying. I'm not doing that well. I mean, it's a five-game losing streak after all. But you know what? You have to be positive. There are nine games left, one at a time, Indianapolis a week from Sunday.
All right, well, before we get to all that good positive stuff, let's wrap up this one against the Chiefs. Boy, a tough one for the Houston Texans.
Oh, gosh, it was. And, you know, it was a great performance by Case Keenum. Absolutely gave the team a little bit of energy with his play at the quarterback position, a spark, as Gary Kubiak called it. Ultimately, not enough. The pass rush of the Chiefs was ferocious in the fourth quarter. Four possessions in the fourth quarter for the Texans. They could not get going. It was a winnable game. They did not win it. They'll have to regroup.
Yep, they lost it by 1-17-16. We'll delve a little bit deeper into that, but first let's check out the highlights in this week's Texans Rewind. All eyes were on Case Keenum as he stepped in for the injured Matt Schaub and made his NFL debut at a very loud Arrowhead Stadium against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Keenum fakes the give, throws underneath, hits Posey, cutting to his left across the 35-40. Posey on the move, the 50, the 45 of the Chiefs, and he's brought down inside the 40-yard line. Keenum will throw. Looking, stepping out to the right, scrambling along the sideline. Now he scrambles back to the left. Keenum pumps, and he fires deep down the left side, and he hits Andre Johnson at the 45. He's down at the 37-yard line of Kansas City. Oh, my gosh. Keenum bought a ton of time and hits a big play to Andre Johnson for 43 yards, the longest completion of the season.
I'm really disappointed. You know, I'm frustrated. Our team played really, really hard there towards the end and really put the offense in a position, put me in a position to go down and, win the game. And we didn't. You know, I didn't make the plays there at the end. And, you got to give credit to Kansas City. They got a heck of a defense. And they did a good job disguising looks and bringing pressure. But, our receivers did a great job of getting open all afternoon. And, you know, I just didn't make the throws when I needed to.
Controlled the game well, kept everyone upbeat in the huddle. I think that's the biggest thing that he could have done as a young player is coming in there and trying to kind of wrangle everybody when we're kind of in a pressure situation the whole game. And I think he did a quality job controlling the game.
You know, he can play well. It shows he has a bright future. He just got, he's young, but I think he played extremely well. And who knows what's going to happen going forward, but, he definitely showed his stuff out there.
Though the Texans didn't get the win, Case finished the day 15 for 25 for 270 yards, including our HCC Go Get It, It's Yours play of the week, a 29-yard strike for a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins.
Keenum gets the snap. He will throw, looking deep, left side, and a flag is down. It's caught. Touchdown, DeAndre Hopkins. 29-yard touchdown pass from Keenum to Hopkins, but isn't coming back.
Defense, number 24. The penalty is declined. Touchdown.
My goodness. Keenum goes deep on 3rd-and-3, and the Texans take the lead on the Chiefs.
The defense honored both Wade and Bum Phillips with a solid day, led by J.J. Watt's 6 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble.
Smith under center, drops back to pass, and Watt has him for a sack. There's J.J. Watt, and he tips the cowboy hat in honor of Bum Phillips.
Perhaps worse than the 17-16 loss, however, was the loss of Brian Cushing, who after a low block from Jamal Charles, suffered a torn LCL and a fractured fibula, ending his season.
Tough situation, man. He worked so hard, man. But, injuries are part of the game, he's gonna come back strong and be ready for next year, man. It's just a tough break.
Boy, Mark, and your heart just goes out to Brian Cushing. I mean, having been someone or am someone who's coming off an ACL right now, right. I can't even imagine going through all that rehab and going back through it all again.
Well, make sure Jamal Charles doesn't block you, Patty, because that could be trouble. And to lose Brian Cushing is a severe blow to this defense, which gave up almost a touchdown more per game last year when he exited in week 5 with that knee injury he suffered against the Jets. And I don't know what's going to happen this year. They are on the trail looking for linebackers right now because Tim Dobbins no longer with the team. Brian Cushing obviously out. So they got a lot of work to do. They also released a couple of other players this week that people know about. Sam Montgomery at defensive end and Willie Jefferson at outside linebacker. So the Texans, with about 5 roster spots to fill, are definitely looking for bodies, and they're just going to have to find a way to shore things up, special teams and defensively.
Yeah, and that defense, really, along with the entire team, especially for Wade Phillips and the city of Houston, playing with heavy hearts, a very emotional game with the passing of Bum Phillips.
Yeah, and it could have been a great tribute for Bum Phillips on Sunday, Patty. The stage was set. It's the Chiefs. Lamar Hunt owned the team. Early days with Bud Adams, Houston, Kansas City. Actually, it was Houston, Dallas, because they were the Dallas Texans, the Chiefs. But to have that history in the AFC, to have the Texans play in there, University of Houston guy Case Keenum starting at quarterback. Wade Phillips went to the University of Houston. Bum Phillips coached under Bill Yeoman for a little while, and it just wasn't able to materialize. They couldn't get the tribute win they were looking for. J.J. Watt did have the tip of the hat celebration after a sack, but that's about all they got.
Yeah, even Gary Kubiak after the game, he has his own special connection to Bum Phillips, and he got a little emotional as well.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, I think if anything, it would have been, you know, really nice to win that game for Wade and his family today. He was always coached me, you know. And, you know, I was thinking about him all day today. My first taste of the NFL was him bringing me to this stadium as a ball boy. And it was ironic that I was here today, you know, this weekend. So, great man, great person. We'll miss him.
Gary Kubiak, of course, a former ball boy of Bum Phillips with the Houston Oilers. Another strong connection that this current group of Texans has with the legendary coach.
Bum Phillips will definitely be missed. We have to take a timeout here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Chiefs and talk about what this team is doing during the bye week. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. You know, Mark, even though the Texans didn't get the win, so many positive things that you sort of touched on and alluded to with Case Keenum's first NFL start. I want to talk a little bit more about him and really kind of where the team is looking at him now. I know the fans are screaming for him. Everybody kind of on the Case Keenum bandwagon at this point.
Well, he's got that it factor, that X factor, and he looked very comfortable in the game, Patty. You could see it right away after the first few snaps that, and I said it after the game, the moment wasn't too big for him. He looked comfortable running the offense. Did they execute everything perfectly? No. He said after the game that some of the things confused him that the Chiefs were throwing at him late. But in the first half, threw for a lot of yards, threw the touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins. You know, that early almost pass to Garrett Graham inside the 10, it would have been huge if they were able to connect on that. But he was throwing the ball deep. He had some zip on it, and his mobility bought him extra time. He was able to make some plays off schedule, something that Gary Kubiak really likes. So I think Case Keenum, he really proved himself as a viable NFL quarterback, and who knows what he could do if given more time, more opportunities.
And that begs us to get to the next question. Mm-hmm. Will he get those opportunities? What's? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but just your thoughts on what happens after the bye week.
Well, what happens is Matt Schaub appears to be healthy, and Schaub told us earlier in the week that he was going to be a full participant in practice next week. Gary Kubiak said Matt Schaub would be a full participant in practice. But clearly you have this Keenum thing going on right now. You know, the fans want who they want. You know, you could take a vote right now. It'd be Keenum, I guess. But the thing is this. Gary Kubiak can't make decisions based on what the fans think. He has to make decisions based on what he thinks is right for his football team moving forward. Now, ultimately, he might go in the Keenum direction. We'll have to wait and find out. But it's really interesting to me how this whole dynamic is going, because Matt Schaub is a franchise quarterback. He's paid that way. He's done a lot of great things for this organization. And if you're going to make that change, look, that's a big process to go through for Kubiak and the coaching staff and everybody involved. So it's a drama that we're all following very closely.
Well, and you talked about Case struggling a little bit in the second half with the pass rush, which would bring us to kind of another point that you touched on that we really didn't talk about, the fact that he's doing that with an empty backfield because Sierre Wood wasn't dressed. Yeah. We later learned Sierre Wood, Willie Jefferson, Sam Montgomery all let go for violating team rules. Can you kind of touch a little bit on that, sort of explain what happened and where the team goes from here?
Well, it was a big factor, Patty, because when you lost those three guys for the game and those guys lost their chance to be Texans, Sierre Wood would have played in this game. Arian Foster went out early with a hamstring injury. Ben Tate played, but he suffered broken ribs. He said he had four broken ribs, and he was still playing with them. And Greg Jones, who plays fullback, is capable of some tailback work and got a couple of carries. But Greg Jones is not a tailback anymore. He's a fullback, and they really needed a guy who could pick up the slack. Sierwood, obviously not available. So I think it affected the outcome of the game, and that is terrible. But again, you got to just move on here. And like I said earlier, they have some roster spots to fill. And of course, a running back is coming up. Could be Ray Graham from the practice squad or somebody else we're not thinking of right now.
So a lot of things going on here in the bye week. The team practiced early in the week. They are getting a chance to rest. Gary Kubiak, Rick Smith getting a chance to make some decisions. Just take us through what you see going on upstairs here in this bye week.
Well, clearly they have to fill the roster spots and they have to make the decision at quarterback and they have to beat the Colts a week from Sunday. I mean, that's paramount right there, because if you don't do that, they have a game over you. You still have to go to their place where you've never won, and now you fall four games under 500. My gosh. If you win the game and go to 3-5, you still have a lot of possibilities in front of you. But you've gone here, Patty, from needing to play really well, needing a nice run, to needing a near miracle run to get to the postseason. Now, after the game, when the players got back in the locker room, within a couple of days, they had a lot of different things to say about the direction of this team going into the bye.
I'm just going to relax and reload. That's it. I'm just going to relax and reload. Ain't nothing special. It's nice, plain, simple. Go home and think about what's next, what I can do next. That's it.
The bye week, like I said, is a great opportunity to get your body back. It's a great opportunity to reload, to get yourself, if there's anything dinged up, get yourself back and ready to roll. It's a chance to go over the first half of the season, watch your film, evaluate it, learn from it, improve upon it, and come out in the second half of the season better than you went into the bye week.
We haven't done what we wanted to do, obviously, but there's been a lot of growth and for making corrections that we made, you know, going forward. You know, we got a nice break off right now and come back and play against a tough division opponent.
It's not where we thought we would be at this point. The expectation level is, you know, higher than it's ever been. And like I said, we never thought we would be in this position at our bye week. But, we still got our division games ahead of us. And every game now is very important, you know, so we have to go out and try to win all of them.
It's still at an all-time high, you know, up until we get it done. You know, it's not going to change from here to the end of the season just because, you know, we're up against time right now. So, you know, we only have 9 games left, and it's not going to get any easier, you know, heading down the stretch. So for us, it's just about taking it one game at a time, just trying to get that next win.
It's playoff football from here on out.
Patty, the bye week is a great opportunity for guys to sort of heal up. A lot of bumps and bruises, a lot of injuries that nobody knows about on every professional football team, but they need this rest. They have to recharge the batteries and somehow get on a roll.
Bumps and bruises, you say. I say the bye week is filled with bulls and birdies. That is the golf tournament that the Houston Texans cheerleaders put on, and we'll be back to tell you about that when we come back today. Register for your chance to win Lunch with a Texan, which includes lunch in the Texans cafeteria with the Texans Community Player of the Year, food provided by Whataburger, and a tour of the Houston Texans team facilities. October's nominees are Kareem Jackson, nominated by Jonathan Joseph, Ben Jones, selected by Chris Myers, and TJ Yates, honored by Matt Schaub. Just go to HoustonTexans.com for more details and to cast your vote. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Well, let's step away from the game a little bit, because during the bye week each and every year, the Houston Texans cheerleaders try to kick off, and they don't try to, they actually do kick off their swimsuit calendar with the Bulls and Birdies Golf Tournament. And I've got to tell you, it's a great tournament. Each and every year, the weather is always just like this, perfect.
Golf during the bye week sounds like a plan for me, but let's see what Drew Doherty's up to.
The 2013 Houston Texans cheerleaders Bulls and Birdies Golf Classic was a big hit on Wednesday at Kingwood. It was the Kingwood Country Club. The ladies of the Houston Texans cheerleaders at every hole. Guys were golfing and they were all doing it for a great cause.
Today is absolutely incredible. We have all the golfers out here. It's a fabulous day. The weather is perfect. And actually, Jessica and I, we have the most amazing views, so today has just been fabulous all around.
Any day by the water is a good day, right?
Exactly. We just need some bikinis out here. We're at the tee box with each calendar girl, and we're just here to like encourage the golfers as they tee off and sign their calendars for them and just give them encouragement.
Is it kind of odd sitting at a table on a golf course in front of a big picture of yourself?
Yeah, you know, and actually the first time I ever saw that big picture, I was kind of like, oh my goodness, like that's me. But I mean, I guess I kind of got used to it, but yeah, it's kind of a shock.
Well, today we're just signing calendars and some posters, just interacting with some fans and just, you know, just making their day. They came out here to see us, so.
You know, having a good time, but giving back to the community, and we're just doing this all for fun, and it's going for a great cause.
How much fun is it what you're doing today? You're sitting on a golf course. It's beautiful.
Gosh, it's gorgeous. Look at this weather. It's perfect. There isn't a cloud in the sky. The weather is beautiful.
Play much golf?
I don't. I've only golfed once in my life, and I was not able to hit the ball. So the grass around that area, not so pretty.
But you're still going to, you know, persevere. You're going to give them words of encouragement and tell them what to do. You'll act like you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah, I'll just pretend it. Fake it till you make it.
All I can say is hit it towards the hole where the big flag is and, you know, hope it goes well.
And you can get those Houston Texans cheerleader swimsuit calendars here at the Go Texans store at Academy Sports and Outdoors as well. And a portion of the proceeds goes to the Houston Texans Foundation, and they're really good. That's a personal editorial comment. They're really good calendars.
The foundation?
The foundation's good, too. That's good, too. It's all good.
It's all good. We've got more good stuff coming up for you after this break. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle, coming to you from the Go Texans Team store. And Mark, I got you a gift for Vanderbaby.
Oh, you did. My first Texans tee for Vanderkid 2 with the onesie. You see, these snaps, by the way. I mean, come on, these are, you know how difficult this is for a father to do these snap things when the baby's like rolling around, he's doing the 7 basic wrestling moves to escape. Very difficult. Anyway, I love this. Thank you.
Lots of great stuff here in the team store.
Yes. And I got a Beanie Baby beanie ball thing for you.
Mine's
how about that?
Bigger.
Oh, gosh. You didn't go there. Okay, we got this. Available at the Go Texans store. I'm going to cuddle up with these guys.
All right, well, let's get back to football. Let's talk about the Colts. Boy, you said it over the weekend in one of our shows, pregame, postgame. Boy, you just thought after 10 years or whatever it was, getting rid of Peyton Manning, here comes Andrew Luck.
And here he is, and he's here for a decade plus in all likelihood, Patty. He looks fantastic. The Peyton Manning versus Andrew Luck game did not go according to plan for the Texans or the Broncos because the Texans really wanted the Broncos to win that game, get Indy with another loss, and go from there. But the Colts just look so good right now. And think about this. They have wins over Denver, Seattle, and San Francisco on the road. Those are strong victories. The losses to San Diego and the Dolphins, not too bad. Miami at home. This is a very good football team, and Peter King picked them to win the AFC South in the preseason. I said, you're nuts! He's not so crazy right now, but there's still time. There's still time to get this done.
Well, we've been saying that, but we are running out of time. At this point, must win, absolutely a must win game for the Texans.
Look, must wins to me are when you're about to be mathematically eliminated, but of course it's a must win. I thought last week was a must win. You have to win to get on a roll, and we're still waiting for that one. A 5-game losing streak is unthinkable for a team of this caliber, but here they are. There's still time, though. They are not eliminated. You have to keep fighting because miracles happen in the NFL all the time. Last year, Gary Kubiak pointed this out. The Washington Redskins were 3-6 and one out to win the division and make it to the playoffs. That's the kind of thing the Texans are going to have to get done.
Well, our next question, I'm going to kind of transition here into mailbag because we have a fan that has a question along these lines, but it is mailbag time.
And it's presented by the Houston Texans scratch-off game by the Texas Lottery. Play today.
All right, and this question comes from Trish. She wants to know about the schedule. What record will it take for the Houston Texans to be able to make the playoffs at this point?
Good question, Trish. And, Patty, I'm thinking here that you have got to go 9 games left. 8-1 in order to get it done. I think 10-6 does get you in at least a wild card, maybe even the division. If the Colts should falter, you should beat them twice and maybe they lose somewhere else along the line. But the margin for error is this. It's one loss right now, and I don't know where you want to pick it. but they lost to NFC teams three times. Obviously, five losses, unacceptable. You know, if you're going to lose a game, if they lose to Arizona, people will freak out, but that's actually a better one than any of the AFC ones. You know what's even better, though? Win out. Go 9-0, and then we don't have to think about it.
Let's just go with that. Clarence would like to know if your opinion on the Jamal Charles hit on Brian Cushing, was it clean?
I didn't think it was a dirty hit in that there was not intent to injure. Travis Johnson was on the Texans radio with us earlier in the week, and he said, you know, Cushing was blasting into the backfield a big portion of the day and getting to Alex Smith and hitting him. Finally, they said, forget it. You're going to have to cut Cushing, not take him out of the game, but block him. And Charles went low, and the worst thing happened. Those two, by the way, made up on Twitter. They were never fighting, but they actually acknowledged each other and the situation on Twitter. It was kind of nice to see that. I didn't think there was intent to injure, but, man, you hit somebody low like that, it's amazing when you don't get hurt.
And finally, Cameron wants to know, is there a direct correlation from the early season injuries and inconsistencies in the lineup to this current losing streak?
Patty, I really don't think so in the way it got started. And I know that Antonio missed game one, but they won that game. And Dwayne Brown missed the Baltimore game and the next game after that against the Seattle Seahawks. But I think they were healthy enough. You look around the league, nobody's ever 100% healthy. The Texans can't blame the start of this thing on injuries. Now, as it's progressed, here come the injuries. Daniels in the 49ers game, and against the Rams, you lose Matt Schaub and Daniel Manning, then Cushing against the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, those are big injuries, no question about that. But they were healthy enough to not blame those early losses in this streak completely on injuries. Again, nobody's always going to be healthy in this NFL world we live in.
All right. Well, that just kind of wraps it up. In this world. Hey, in your little world, in the bye week, any extra time off for you? You can do anything fun?
Play a little golf and spend a lot of time with my sons, you know, and maybe, you know, bring home these things for the guys, you know, have a little fun. I want to spend some time with the family because, you know, we're all busy during football season.
Well, good deal. You go enjoy them. And
what about you?
Just that. It's always football season at my house. No, bye week there, so I'll just continue to work. You go ahead and take some time off.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Come on out here to the Go Texans store. Get yourself geared up for the game against the Colts. Remember, that's on Sunday night, 2 hours before kickoff. We will have Countdown to Texans Live. Mark and I will be out here counting down to the kickoff, and then be sure to flip back over to Fox Sports Southwest to watch Texans Wrap, where we will have a live one-hour game wrapping up what hopefully will be a Texas win and the start to a new streak. Have a great week, everyone.